Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. Stock up and save when you shop the lowest prices available every day at Outlet Liquor. You never have to wait for a sale. The more you buy, the more you save. Only at Outlet Liquor.
What's your outlet?
Folks, welcome back to Trainwreck Tonight 336, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. It is the wind down from the NCAA tournament, all the March Madness. We are down to four teams there, but it is the ramp up. We have tonight potentially the biggest women's basketball game in college history. We got MLB all underway. We got WrestleMania this week. We got the Masters next week. There is no shortage of excitement. So with that said, let's go.
You don't stop. Follow me into the great unknown, where pink flamingos grow, diet soda flows, and what you take magically regenerates. On supermarket shelves, the ovens clean themselves. You don't pay the tab till the last drop. So we all ride for nothing, cause this train never stops.
And welcome back here on Trainwreck Tonight 336. We got the wind down. We got the ramp up. It's all sponsored by Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case. George Urban Boulevard in Depew. It doesn't matter if it's April. Doesn't matter if it's May. The month, the day, irrelevant. Get to Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case. And let's start with it. It was all weekend. It was all yesterday. The state of the Sabres. They dropped one headed into the weekend. A bad one against Ottawa, and then they drop another bad one, shutout against Toronto. I'm not sure what was worse, the fans and the takeover in the arena, or the fact that they dropped a 3-0 decision to the Maple Leafs. People are up in arms about this. I don't know. I don't know if I'm numb to it. I don't know if I've just gotten used to it. I don't know if the Sabres have taken every ounce that I could possibly care about them away from me and kind of negated that, but I don't know. It just doesn't affect me. Like, everyone's saying, oh, they can't stand, you know, they're taking over arena, things like that. I mean, I think it's a very unique case. I mean, they have a team that's, you know, not crazy far away. It's a lot more expensive there. I mean, you're going to get takeovers. I know that in the 06, 07 days, people are like, oh, it was only half and half. Yeah, well, the Sabres have been terrible for a decade. So it's not exactly like you don't need to be Albert Einstein to figure out exactly why that happened, why everything was going the way that it was. And we'll jump over to the Cousins quote here. This was after the game. I think he was saying, you know, that the team needs to earn like a support like that. It was completely just a misconstrued quote. I think there was someone who posted part of it. But I mean, if you're reacting to just a quick quote on Twitter or a quick quote anywhere on the internet, I mean, you just need to R-E-L-A-X. I think Cousins, you know, when the full quote came out, made perfect sense to everyone. He said they just want to earn, you know, the allegiance from the fans. They want to earn that dap from the fans. And so they have to work harder. They have to be more successful. They have to stack wins to do that. They know they do. They weren't, you know, blaming the fans. They weren't saying it was anyone's there at fault. But yeah, they obviously got to make it happen. And if they want to see, you know, the people in the seats, they want to see that support, especially at home, there has to be a little bit better of a product. I mean, there's just too many letdowns, too many. I mean, again, you come to a game on Thursday, like, and you're, and they're down 4-0. 5-0 before the end of the first period. I mean, it's just, you don't know when you're going to get a clunker, and it's too much to spend hundreds of dollars on to go to a game if you're going to get a clunker on a weekday. So plain and simple, that is that. Plain and simple, that is that. Also, Skinner plays his 1,000th game tomorrow. All the jokes are all over. You know, he hasn't played in the playoffs, hasn't played in the playoff game, etc. I don't know. I don't know if I could fault the team for handling this the way they did. They want to kind of obviously do right by Jeff. He's a part of the team. He's a part of the franchise. He's a big piece of the franchise. But yeah, this is just, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's not an RJ night. It's not a Miller night. It's, you know, Skinner. And obviously people were a little upset about it. You're seeing a lot of follow. You're seeing people be upset about the 1K Skinner. Again, it's just like the Cousins, but it's just like the Toronto thing. I have a tough time getting like amped up about it because the Sabres have taken all my energy, because the Sabres have taken all that gas and kind of, you know, negated it. I don't have it anymore. I do not have the fuel to get crazy. I do not have the fuel to get upset. I do not have the fuel about anything about these Sabres. So maybe they'll make me feel something soon. Maybe they'll run off wins and make a miracle playoff run, but it's more than likely that tomorrow night, you know, at home, they'll likely be eliminated from the playoffs for the 13th straight season. NHL record, sports record, longest playoff drought, you know, basically in sports right now. So the Sabres have put us in this position. It's not us putting the Sabres in that position the other way. Speaking of position, we are down to the final four in the NCAA men's tournament. Very entertaining. Lots to look forward to. You got Alabama against UConn. You got NC State against Purdue. You got Burns against Edie. You got Oates against Hurley. You got all kinds of matchups and a lot to look forward to. It's exciting. The NCAA men's tournament, it was a good week, Sweet 16 week. I don't think this has been the best tournament by any means. There have been some weird blowouts. There have been some weird games. Yeah, there were a handful of games that you can look back and yeah, those are really good. And yeah, of course you have your goalkeeper. You have your goalkeeper above all else, but this ends up being a pretty lackluster tournament when it's all said and done. As far as my opinion, again, not a ton of crazy upsets, not a ton of crazy runs. You got 2-1 seeds and you got a 4 and I think an 11 going to the tournament. So very interesting. Now, again, am I shit talking DJ Burns? No, because the guy is an absolute artist. It's amazing to watch him play. I don't know what was going on with this NC State team during the regular season, but they have hit their stride at the right moment. This is what the NC State team is why this tournament exists, because you can get right at the hot time and you can make some noise and you could do some damage. And that's exactly what the Wolfpack are doing. So shout out to the Wolfpack. And speaking of shout outs, let's bring, as we're talking NCAA tournament, we're talking history, we're talking implications. Let's go over to our guest, Lindsay D'Arcangelo, to talk about the NCAA women's tournament and women's sport. All righty, folks. And it is my privilege, my honor at this time to welcome to Trainwreck Tonight. She is a writer. She is an author. She is a women's sports advocate. She wrote Hail Mary, The Rise and Fall of the Women National Women's Football League and other books. Also writes for Awful Announcing and I believe other outlets. Let's get her in here. Jeez, more titles than Daenerys Targaryen. Lindsay D'Arcangelo. Lindsay, welcome to TT.
Hey, hey, hey. What's up?
Not much. Anything going on today? Anything happening this evening that people might be interested in? Might be get some viewers?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, not a lot going on other than, you know, a rematch of Iowa LSU on ESPN at 7 o'clock.
We got Caitlin Clark. We got Angel Reese. I don't know if Cardi B will be in the building, but one thing is for certain, Lindsay, and that is that women's sports have all the momentum in the world right now. And, you know, truthfully, it's coming from this women's NCAA tournament. I think even going into this tournament, the storylines and everything on the women's. Oops, sorry. My thing went off in the background. I'll just cut that. The women's side of things. I mean, there were storylines abound. There were tons of angles going into this. And you just knew that these two teams, LSU and Iowa, were kind of on a collision course in this region. Is this kind of everything you've thought this tournament would be so far and more?
Yeah, I think when you saw the brackets laid out and you saw the Albany 2 region, first of all, I mean, there were so many good teams in this bracket. It was like the Hunger Games, pretty much, about who was going to, you know, come out swinging for the Final Four. So, and you saw Iowa and you saw LSU and you saw they could eventually meet. And I think this is what the NCAA wanted. This is what ESPN was probably hoping for, because, I mean, it's a rematch of the national title game from last year, which drew incredible numbers. It was last year's title game was the most watched women's basketball game ever. Mm-hmm. So to have that again on slate tonight in prime time is pretty cool.
Seriously, and rightfully so. Those teams delivered, whether it was Caitlin carrying Iowa in or all the storylines that LSU had going in. Speaking of storylines, I want to, you know, hit the brakes real quick because I saw a piece that you wrote for Awful Announcing, but it looks like less than right around a week ago. But it was talking about, you know, the portrayal of Caitlin Clark and making sure that, you know, all this attention that's getting put on women's basketball, all this attention that's getting put on college basketball, kind of gets appropriately, I guess, kind of portioned. I guess I'm looking for a different word, you know, across the. So talk to me in the battle, like the battle that goes into that and what you would maybe like to see, you know, in this upcoming week of what should be amazing women's action.
You know, I think we saw it with the Sweet 16 coverage, particularly that column was focused particularly on ESPN because they put a Holly Rowe, who's a great sideline reporter, not knocking anything she does, but they put her specifically on the Caitlin Clark beat. And it was during the first two rounds of the tournament. And so during the games, they did a lot of Caitlin Clark coverage, a lot of Iowa coverage. It seemed like the other team that was there was just kind of being left off. Like you didn't really get any of those tidbits and that those huddle informations during the sideline nuggets that they usually drop throughout the broadcast. It was all Iowa heavy. And so, you know, I was the only one who noticed and, you know, it was kind of it stood out. So I wanted to write down my thoughts about that. But I mean, Caitlin Clark is a generational player. I mean, she is. You can't deny that. You can't deny that she's driving up ratings. She's driving up ticket prices and attendance for games. But we're seeing that not just for the Iowa games. There were ratings that came out last week for the first two rounds. And there were other games where Iowa wasn't involved and the ratings were in the millions. So it's kind of like this balance, right? You have to give the attention because she's drawing that attention, but you can't lose sight of the bigger picture, which is women's basketball itself has been on this upward trajectory. And now that it's here, you have to make sure you spread that coverage around and introduce casual fans who are tuning in to see Caitlin Clark, but to all these other players who are just as big of stars in their own right and will carry the league or the women's college basketball forward once Caitlin Clark goes into the WNBA.
And it's very interesting because, you know, I always play devil's advocate with these situations, especially in media. It's almost like the role that Holly Rowe was playing that you were talking about was similar to me to like what Brian Windhorst did for a very long time with ESPN when he was basically the LeBron guy. When he was on the screen, he was talking about LeBron. But you're right. It wasn't like during the game. They didn't cut to, you know, Brian Windhorst in the middle of the second quarter talking about LeBron. They focused on all the action. So great point, obviously, there. And then, listen, I know I said it in the pre-show, but I got to ask you, is this the biggest women's NCAA basketball game ever tonight?
I mean, from a rating standpoint and from a hype standpoint, from where we are now, I mean, that's not an overstatement. I mean, I still remember watching UConn, Tennessee, you know, those big matchups that were just must-see basketball. And there's been others throughout the years, but we're at a point where there's so many factors at play. I mean, you have so many eyes on women's college basketball right now. You have multiple stars. You have the social media aspect, which these days is often driving the conversation in sports on like First Take and all those sports talk shows. And then you have the accessibility and visibility of all these games. I mean, people forget that ESPN, they started airing every game in the women's tournament only a couple years ago. And then actually, you know, putting them on ABC, that's recent. So that visibility and accessibility has been huge for what you're seeing right now is this explosion. So, I mean, ratings wise, it could beat the national championship game from last year. I wouldn't be surprised at that. But right now at this point in time, yeah, I mean, I'd say, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and you're hoping, I mean, if you're, you know, working on the women's NCAA things, or even if you're just an advocate like yourself, like many of us, obviously, you're hoping that this is kind of the first domino to fall, right? You don't have a national championship matchup on every year or a rematch on every year. You don't have an Angel Reese, you don't have a Caitlin Clark every year. But you're hoping that maybe in 4 to 5 years, this will be like the first of many that we're able to achieve this rating and able to get this spotlight, right? Because they've done a better job. I feel like, you know, it is on TV more. It is accessible, the product, and they're seeing the dividends of making it accessible.
Yeah, agree. Totally agree. And there's so many stars besides, like I said, besides Caitlin Clark. I mean, I know she's a huge draw, but she's also already declared for the WNBA. She's not coming back. Mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, I could rattle off a list for you of other stars in different programs. That's the other thing. you used to just have one or two, three, four programs at the most that had all the good players. That's not the case anymore. These stars are spread all around. So there's draw coming from everywhere. And, you know, just after the LSU-Iowa game, you've got UConn-USC, mm-hmm. which is Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins, who two incredible women's basketball players who, I mean, that's just as good of a matchup. It doesn't have the same hype, but you're going to watch on par talent as well. So.
Yeah, you're right, though. Like, the only thing maybe missed, like, again, and you, the Clark, obviously, of the prolific scoring, number one, you know, all time for women's. But the only thing that really gives that matchup the shine, like you said, over the USC UConn, is that this is a national championship rematch from last year. So it's kind of like a storyline that's been building. It's been on the minds. People have seen it before. America loves a sequel, obviously. So that's kind of playing into it. But there's not going to be a sequel for this year anytime soon, I think we could say, Lindsay, because I'm just looking at it. I mean, you look at the storylines, you look at everything that's happened this year. But for me, it's about points. I love scoring. I love, you know, the attention it draws and everything. You have Caitlin Clark. But the other thing that you kind of forget about, and I don't know if this is for good reason or for bad reason, but De'Asia Fair, another top five scorer playing in the NCAA women's this year, playing in the tournament. I mean, you see two top five scorers essentially in the history of women's basketball. You know, the term generational does get thrown around a lot more nowadays than it did before. Someone will see a good movie or see a good snippet online and be like, that was generational. But is it hyperbole to say that this is a generational year in women's basketball?
It's not hyperbole. And you're right. It does get thrown around a lot. I mean, Caitlin Clark's level of play is just, it is, we've seen glimpses of this before. I think Taurasi comes to mind, Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, I mean, even Breanna Stewart. But as far as what she does on the offensive end, you know, the logo threes, it's Stephen Curry-esque, right? We haven't just seen that side of shooting in the women's game. So that's why it stands out. But you're right. There are so many other stars, and we were spoiled. We got to see De'Asia Fair play here in Buffalo, and good for her for moving to a bigger program along with Coach Felice Look at Jack. So happy for them. But she did not get as much attention, I think, as she was due for her game. And I love that they played UConn in the Sweet 16 because it put more eyes on her and her game, and it just reinforces the fact that there's other really incredibly talented players in women's college basketball to watch and keep an eye on.
And basically, I mean, let's face it, UConn to the Sweet 16 is an automatic bid, what, the last 2 to 3 decades? Twice, yeah. Coach Jack and, you know, that crew, whether it was at UB, whether it was at Cuse, gave them quite a run in stores, which is not something that happens very often to them. So I'm going to put you to the burner a little bit here, Lindsay. Iowa, okay. LSU tonight. LSU... You know, what would you say it's fair to say they've struggled through these wins that they've gotten to this tournament? I know it's survive and advance, so a win is all that matters. I just feel like they've lacked like the typical LSU flair that I've seen from them the last year or two. But with that said, Iowa, a small favorite. Do you think that Iowa gets it done in the rematch tonight?
I did pick them to beat LSU in my bracket. And here's the thing, right? If Caitlin Clark's playing well and the rest of Iowa isn't, they're beatable. If Caitlin Clark plays well and the rest of Iowa is hitting shots and they're getting points and, you know, they're playing, you know, they're rolling as a team, they look unbeatable. So what needs to happen tonight is basically that for them to beat LSU.
Okay. Well, hey, it's just a matter of teamwork. No I in team, even though there is two in Caitlin Clark. With that said, obviously, you know, any women's advocate has got to be loving this right now. What is the hope that, you know, when we look back, and I guess, you know, it's hard at an NCAA level because there is the turnover. Like you said, Clark's going to be going to the WNBA next year. But, you know, if you're like the commissioner of the NCAA, like, you know, women's like side of things, everything like that, what are you hoping for a lasting impact from this tournament for years going forward? What's like the aim where you could see maybe in 2 to 3 years from now, they can look back and be like, wow, we really, you know, maximized, you know, the eyeballs and the attention we were getting there for a better cause.
Yeah, I mean, and don't just let it end with Caitlin Clark, because like we said, she's leaving. But then, like I said, you have Paige Beckers is coming back to UConn next year. Juju Watkins is a freshman. Hannah Hidalgo over at Notre Dame is a freshman. These are player of the year candidates. You have Reagan Beers over at Oregon State. I could name a star on like a ton of different teams. So it's like maximize the star potential, like really drive that home, you know, really put the attention on the different matchups that happen throughout the season. But I think especially next season, you're going to see a lot of talk about so many different teams being able to pull off a national championship. I mean, right now, I mean, South Carolina went undefeated, and that's not even a storyline. That's not
seriously. Even they're about. Just cruising at what 36-0.
Yeah, and I think they're like, I don't know. I saw a stat on ESPN the other day. And, you know, you can look this up because I'm sure I'm going to get the numbers wrong. But I think they're like 107-3 in the past couple of years or something like that. It's mind-boggling. And they lost a bunch of seniors from last year, and they've just haven't missed a beat. And you got Malaysia Fuwaili on that team, who's a freshman. I mean, talk about another generational player. I mean, what she does on the court when she drives the lane, it's wild. It's another aspect that we haven't really seen. Her fluidity in the lane is something we really haven't seen in women's basketball. So, I mean, there's a lot to women's basketball is in good hands.
Seriously, it seems like it's in good hands. So make sure you get your hands on that remote. Make sure you get your hands onto that streaming service. Make sure you're tuned to Iowa LSU at 7. And then obviously we got UConn USC tonight. It is can't miss. And I say that, and just to be clear, that's big for me, Lindsay, because we got Monday Night Raw tonight, the last Raw before WrestleMania. That's a big show. But I'm saying, by the way, WrestleMania is having a big rematch this year as well. I had to tie that in. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, but we got the real big matchup rematch tonight with Iowa and Caitlin Clark against LSU and Angel Reese. Speaking of running it back, Lindsay, let's check out our Buffalo bracket. Have you been diehard putting any votes in here? I won't hold you to it, but
I haven't. But I want to
okay,
take a look.
That's fair. Let's run through the Sweet 16 real quick, and then you give me your picks for who should move on. We won't do the whole bracket, just the Sweet 16. So let's start in the bottom right. We got Beef on Weck against Cup and Char Pepperoni, a 6-10 facing off here in the Sweet 16. Who do you got moving on?
See, my dad, who lives down south now, moved down a long time ago, always talks about the pepperoni still. But when he comes up here, the first thing he wants to do is get a Beef on Weck. So I'm going to have to go with that.
Okay. I like that. Respect the dad. Let's go. We got Bandits Championship. Just snuck by Wrong Turn in Canada. I don't know how Wrong Turn into Canada was getting so many votes there. But versus Sabres Goat Head. So obviously a lot of flair in this jersey. Didn't help him out this past weekend. But who do we got? Bandits Championship against the Sabres Goat Head.
I'm going with the Bandits Championship.
I think that's fair. People are saying like, oh, well, it's just a major Buffalo championship. That's nothing to scoff at, especially when you get a parade.
We need that.
Parades, you know, you basically stop traffic for the downtown region Sweet 16 matchup. You got Taste of Buffalo against Allentown. Taste of Buffalo always does well in this bracket. People always hate on it, but then it always does well.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's been like I didn't go last year. But I got to say, I'm going to go with Taste of Buffalo. I love me some Allentown, but I'm going with Taste of Buffalo.
Rounding out the downtown bracket, we got City of Good Neighbors against perennial powerhouse Brother Bill's Videos. Are you familiar with these wake ups?
I am not.
Okay.
So
well, he wakes up everybody for the Bills games. He creates all kinds of nonsense around the other team. It's a good rallying cry, but do you think he could take down City of Good Neighbors in the Sweet 16?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to give some love to content producers, especially when they're showing off Buffalo. So I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. I like it. And now we're going on the other side of things. We got Barbell Tavern against Bison Theme Games. You got a favorite Bison theme game or theme day you've ever been to?
I mean, they do a lot of them.
Oh my God. It's basically every night.
I mean, you can find one for whatever pretty much. Yeah. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to with that just because there's so much variety, right? There's something for everyone.
I agree. There really is something for everyone with the Bison's theme games. And then we have a traditional 1-4 matchup in the Sweet 16, but this is a powerhouse matchup. We got local breweries as the one against Sabres Twitter as the four. I don't know if you've ever messed with Sabres Twitter, Lindsay, but they do not mess around.
I've seen Sabres Twitter, man. It's no joke. But you know what? I love all the breweries that are around here now. And it's like one pops up like every other month around here. And so I'm going to give it up to the Buffalo breweries because they're killing it right now.
Absolutely. Okay. So we got two more matchups to go. And these are both underway as of today. We got summertime weather. And this is just like you said, those content creators, Cover One, a big year for Cover One. They're getting all kinds of respect from the Bills, getting shout outs from the Bills. Do you think they could take down summertime weather in the Northtown bracket?
I mean, summertime weather is, you know, it can be unpredictable. And I got to give a shout out and some love to my boys over at Cover One. I've known them for years now. Never did anything with them, but they're awesome. And so I'm picking them.
I have a feeling that's going to change before the end of 2024. I think LDA and Cover One collab is incoming. And speaking of incoming, the last match of our Sweet 16, we had another traditional 1-4. We got Chicken Wings against Bison. If Chicken Wings, two-time champion, Lindsay. Can anybody stop them?
God, this is a hard one. This is like an Iowa LSU matchup right here with the Bison Dip. And because, you know, I have people from out of town who come visit, they want Bison Dip. Or if I go visit, you know, that's what they want. I feel like Chicken Wings has maybe had the limelight for a while now, and I'm going to give some love to Bison Chip Dip.
I like that. I think we talked internally with our bracket team. If Chicken Wings wins again, they may have to be put up in the rafters. They may have to retire Chicken Wings, because obviously at Buffalo, we are passionate for that. And speaking of passionate, huge shout out to LDA, Lindsay D'Arcangelo, for joining us here on TT336. But before I let you go, streaming anything? You watched any good movies recently? Anything I can link onto after this LSU Iowa, after this, all this women's action tonight?
Yeah, it's funny that you said that, because I just watched the new Roadhouse because out of curiosity, pure curiosity, because the first one is such a classic, and I checked it out. It's horrible. It's awful. they somehow managed to take a cult classic and just, I don't know.
And Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, he doesn't mess around.
I mean, it's just, the story doesn't even, I mean, there's some little shout outs and stuff here and there to the old one, but the story is not even that great. The acting's not great. Not that the acting was Oscar worthy in the first Roadhouse, but I mean, we're talking, like I said, a classic movie. So I had to go back and rewatch the first one just to cleanse myself. Shout out to the original Roadhouse.
Hey, shout out to the original Roadhouse. You jumped a segment on us here. Shout out to Seth. Huge shout out for Lindsay on here. TT336. Any shout outs before we send you on your way?
Shout out to everybody who has been a driver and proponent of women's sports for the last 5-10 years, because what you're seeing now is the fruits of all that labor. You know, this explosion is not an overnight thing. It's been building for years, and to see it come to fruition and happening, and it's pretty damn cool.
I can tell you for a fact, Lindsay has been putting on the timeline for years and years, almost, I would say, like a half decade at this point, that women's sports only needs the opportunity. It only needs the exposure, and we are seeing the results of that. So if you want to see her be right about anything 5 years into the future or anything, make sure you're following her. Make sure you're following along at, what is it, Dark Angel 21?
Dark Angel 21.
Okay, yep. Folks, make sure you're following along. Let's have a great night of action. Lindsay, thank you for joining us. Let's have a good night now.
Enjoy the games.
Thank you very much. Our guest, Lindsay D'Arcangelo, brought to you by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case, George Urban Boulevard in Depew. And speaking of getting it done, just like Outlet Liquor gets it done, the MLB is back and the Yankees swept the Houston Astros. I know you might be like, Maniac, you're a Yankees fan. Yeah, I was watching the Buffalo Blue Jays. I have pride for everything that goes around in Buffalo. If something has Buffalo attached to it, I am going to love it. That is just how it works out. See the Buffalo bracket for no further evidence needed. But the Yankees are my team. I grew up with the Yankees. I love the Yankees. Yeah, it's been tough, you know, a couple years, but I don't know. This was an opening series that kind of tells you the evil empire is back. And the best part is that it was almost all directly relatable to Juan Soto. He was making a big throw in the opening game. He was getting a big hit in the last game of the series. He was time and time again the reason that the Yankees were able to win. The Yankees were able to be successful in Houston. And that's why I want to launch my Maniac Parlay. There's a couple versions of these, but this is what I got. Yankees to win the pennant. Bills to win the AFC, and then you can mix in Scottie Scheffler somewhere in the Masters. So those are my, you know, futures. Those are what I'm looking for as far as when I'm lacing bets, when I'm making plays. We got the Yankees to win the AL. We got the Bills to win the AFC, and we got Scottie Scheffler top 10, top 5 to win the Masters is even plus 450, plus 400 in some spots. I think he'll obviously, Scottie will be trying to bounce back after that Houston Open loss yesterday. He missed a 6-foot putt, so if you're him, I think you're focusing. I think you're grinding. I think you're looking to get back to that promised land, of course. Promised land. Sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone, and that's probably how Rashee Rice is feeling this, you know, today, this morning. I think last update was that he's retained legal counsel. You know, just a idiot decision, driving, you know, it gets in an accident, could have caused a much crazier accident. I guess people left the scene or whatnot, which is another huge issue, but we shouldn't be worried about people leaving the scene. We should be worried about safety. We should be worried about everyone looking out for the best, you know, safety and intentions for everybody. And that was what Rashee Rice wasn't doing in this case. So, I mean, shame on him. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that there's like a Bills Chiefs kind of schism here to whatever I might say, but I mean, listen, if this was Khalil Shakir going 120 miles per hour on, you know, the 90 or the 33, I'd be saying all the same stuff I'm doing right now. I mean, these guys, they do feel invincible. Probably, you know, you win a Super Bowl, you're worth hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. You do feel invincible. And this is a reminder that they're not, and that we need to take everyone's safety, you know, into account, and obviously prioritize that more than some fun or than a couple of fleeting moments. Speaking of fleeting moments, we got a quick behind train wreck sports. So we're super excited. Obviously, we have the Buffalo bracket rolling on courtesy of Batavia Downs and Salino. Here's something. Last week we had a talk and someone wanted to acquire train wreck sports. I always thought about the day. It was kind of weird to have the conversation. The one thing that stuck out to us in the conversation is we're super passionate about the brand, and we're not really going unless it's a perfect offer that we know is going to give opportunity into the future and take this brand into the future. I love the idea of making money. Believe me, I love the idea of someone giving me money. Believe me. But you got to be able to maintain what we have. I mean, we've built this Trainwreck brand for over 7 years now, okay? 8 years now, all right? We're not just going to, you know, whisk it away out the window with nothing. We're going to want to preserve this. And so I appreciate, you know, the discussions, and they are ongoing. So we'll see what circles back. We'll see what happens. I always thought like the idea of us moving on from Trainwreck was 0 out of 10. You know, this conversation moved it to a 2 or a 3. It made it possible. It makes it sound like it could be something that would be interesting. Could be something that will be a large part of, which is absolutely what Trainwreck wants to do, but it has to work for both sides. So we're excited about the conversation. We're excited that it could even happen. We're excited that we could even reach that point. But a lot still to be done on that front. And then an announcement. I want to do the announcement now, but there's got to wait some details. Later in the week, Trainwreck will be doing something for the first time that no other podcast in Western New York, no other sports entertainment brand in Western New York has done. So looking forward to announcing that later in the week, courtesy of Behind Trainwreck Sports. And shout outs. Okay. Shout outs. We got shout out to tonight's action, okay? Because the women's get battled for this opportunity, and they've got it. Women, LSU, Iowa, USC, UConn. It's a massive night. I mean, I'm going to have Raw on the side TV. That's all you got to know about me for tonight. We got WrestleMania this weekend. We'll probably do a live stream. We'll be at Sports City on Saturday. We'll likely do a live stream on Sunday. That's still subject to change, but all eyes tonight are going to be on Iowa, LSU, rooting for Caitlin Clark. I mean, let's get some revenge after last year. Losing to LSU, losing to injuries with the finger in the ring taunt. Okay. I mean, I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was good, but it's time to get that revenge. Revenge is a dish best served cold. It's time for Iowa to freeze out LSU tonight. Make sure you don't freeze us out. Make sure you're subscribing to us on all the platforms.
Apple, Spotify, YouTube.
And most importantly, big thank you to our guest, Lindsay D'Arcangelo. Have a good night now.